Bless you and welcome back to Revival Today with Pastor Marco. Today's message is being stirred. The message today that God has placed in my heart is being stirred. Turn to somebody and say, being stirred. I want you to be ready for miracles, church, and I want you to be ready to see God do some great things in your life. God began to give me a word for the people today, and most of all, this word I know is going to bless you, because one thing God wants us to understand is we have to be ready to hear from Him. Too many times today we're hearing from so many other sources. We're hearing from friends, family, politics, and we become unstable because we're not hearing from the Lord. And I began to pray, and I said, Lord, what is it that the people need for this time? And God began to say that we need to have faith where we believe in miracles again. The church has gotten to a place where we become so religious and so caught up in a form of praise, but we don't realize that the power of the Word of God is a tool that you can use for breakthrough. The word of God is not for us to just come and praise Him in this hour, but it's supposed to be something that you can draw from, a well that you can draw from when you need strength. How many of you need strength right now? I know I need strength. The enemy's job is to try to get in your ear and take you off the path that God has for you. And the only way we're going to be able to stay on focus is we got to know that God is working things out in our favor. You are not growing up if you don't know how to stay focused. If you can turn with me to Acts 14th chapter and the second verse. And I'm going to start off this reading. And I want you to know that God wants you, He don't want you to block out the possibility of miracles. If you turn with me, it says at the first verse, it says, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogues. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greek believed. See, so Paul and Barnabas began to go into the synagogues and they began to preach to everybody. This is NIV. And they went into the synagogues and they began to preach to the people. And it says, there they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greek believed. But, here's the but. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the others. Say, stirred up the others. They refused to believe, so they stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their mind against the brothers. This is what I want to talk about today. Faith without works is dead, but faith has to be something that you hold on to. Faith does not come from those that are sitting around you, but faith comes from your belief as an individual. When the Bible says that everyone must work out their own soul salvation, it's meant because faith is something that you possess for yourself. And in the scripture, Paul began to go out and preach and with a partner. He went out with faith and they began to preach a word. And as they preach the word, guess what? There's going to always be doubters. Say, there's doubters. There are going to be times when you know you're on path and when you know you're doing the right thing, but somebody comes into your space and begins to give you doubt. And I need the church to know that that doubt is what the enemy is dependent on to break you. He is trying to get us in a place spiritually where we're not truly hearing from God. Now look at what's going on in society today. The enemy wants to bring doubt in your heart so that you can't get the miracle that he has promised you, where you do no longer believe in faith in God. But now you believe in faith in man. You believe in faith in friendship. But how about faith in God? So they were in a situation where Paul and Barnabas began to preach, and they began to seek out to go and work against them. I need you to know that somebody somewhere is going to try to work against your faith. But how many of you are ready to see God bring you through? He cannot bring you through if you keep on listening to doubters. So in the next scripture, go with me, says, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly, say boldly, for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Say divided. Some sided with the Jews and others with the apostles. That's the code word, divided. The enemy, even what you see going on in the country today, he wants to divide, because people have this thing that when they pick a side, they become territorial. But don't you know that God is a unifier? Don't you know that God is trying to purify your heart so that you can receive something? There's something that God has for you. How many of you prayed before and said, Lord, I need a healing? How many have been there? How many prayed and said, Lord, I just want to get closer to you spiritually? How many prayed and said, I'm in a marriage and I'm trying to make it? How many prayed and said, listen, my job, there's a problem, and I need strength to get through? This is why you have to understand that even when Paul began to preach and Barnabas began to preach, the enemy showed up in the middle of the message with another word. And the other word was doubt. The devil knows that if he can shake you just a little bit, he can get you off solid foundation of the word. If he can get in your head and whisper something that you kind of believe in. So in this scripture, what it was saying is that Paul and them began to preach boldly. Someone say boldly. They began to preach boldly. That means they preach from a place where they knew. How many have ever been in a situation where you know something and you know it's true? And then you walked into somewhere, maybe with family, you were talking, and they didn't believe what you were saying. How many have been there? The longer they begin to talk to you, you started saying, well, maybe you're right. Even though you knew you were right. I need you to know that the enemy's job is to come in and steal your blessings. His job is to come in and steal your faith. His job is to come in and steal your fellowship. He don't want you to know how to draw strength from one another. Instead, he wants to get you off on your own, where he can whisper sweet nothings to you and get you backed up in the corner so that now you have doubt all over your spirit and you can't get your breakthrough that God had already promised you, because he knows it's coming. He knows that your blessing is coming. He knows that your victory is coming, so now he's working on his behalf so that he can get you stirred. Being stirred but no change. Too many times we're letting somebody get in our ear because we believe in them. But I need you to know that how many here believe in Jesus? How many here believe that he took the cross? How many believe that he died for you? How many believe that he saved your soul? This is what he did for you. And the enemy wants to bring doubt and break you down because of your fear. Fear will break you down. fear will get in your spirit. So right here in the scripture, Barnabas, they spent a lot of time, but they spoke boldly. Someone say again, boldly. The reason why I'm holding on that word boldly is this. Guess what? When you're not afraid of something, guess what? You do it. What? When you're at a new job and you know what you're doing, you step in what? You see what I'm saying? But the enemy wants to come in and take that word around and bring it to doubt. Doubt is easy to get because doubt works like this. It's a seed too. All it has to do is get a place that roots in your heart. And it starts to minister to you. And even though I got to get this in your spirit, when Paul and Barnabas began to preach in the temple, guess what was going on there? Guess what? They were the priests and those in authority and those in the government that said, listen, I need these people to line up with what we're doing. So they began to come in the congregation, in the synagogues, and they begin to say, hey, listen, this person here is a lie. But the scripture says that what he began to do, God began to embolden them. And it says right here, it says in the next verse, he confirmed the message of grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. When God is on your side, he's going to perform some things. Healing is a gift. When you have the gift to heal somebody, you got to go in it where you understand that it's not about you. All you do is do the prayer. All you do is pray and lay hands on them and believe God is going to do it. It's not about me, so I can't go in it where I'm saying, oh, I got to stir it up. No, if you trust and believe, God can bring a miracle. That means he can bring a miracle over your finances that you can't even believe because it's like I cannot do it my own. I can't make the money myself fast enough, but all of a sudden there's more finances in your account because God brought a miracle your way. Give God some praise. So it says there that the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the Jews and others sided with the apostles. That's why I need you to understand the enemy wants to get you to take sides, church. Even what's going on in the politics, he wants you to take sides. But I need you to know division is not the number that God believes in. He believes in multiplying. He believes in bringing people in. He believes in restoring lives. But the spirit of division is all throughout the land. They say you got to be on this team or that team. But I need you to know that united you stand, divided you fall. That means you have to understand where your strength comes from. It doesn't come from division. That's why I always say to everyone, I said the church has to be a place called safe. You need to understand that there might be somebody that is living out some trauma in their life. And instead of us being a place that can witness to their situation, we're a place that gossips and divides because we get in one another's ears and says, guess what? You know what? Somebody said this about you. But I know my God is bigger than that lie. When God is bigger than the lie, you have to understand if you truly have a relationship with God, you're going to listen to him. You're not going to listen to the doubters and those that bring doubt in your spirit. How many of you want to be all right? You can't be all right if you keep on soaking your mind and your heart with negativity. You know why we go to therapists? Because you just need someone to talk to you and listen to your problem. And then you need somebody to hear you out. Then you need somebody to tell you what to do. To me, that sounds like God. To me, that sounds like you understand when he ministers to you, he can go where your heart is and he can dig some stuff out. But you got to know you keep on putting yourself in an environment where doubt is breaking your life apart. I know I want to be bigger. I know that I'm bigger. Do you know that you're bigger? Bigger than separation. Bigger than depression. Bigger than a broken heart. You are bigger because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's who God is. You're bigger, church. If you look at the scripture in Romans 9:16-17, it says, now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses. Contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. Say avoid them. Uh-oh, what does it say there? It says, see, you got to understand, we look at all these people in the church, and a lot of people are still gone due to this coronavirus. And I want to let you know, all you that are still out, we love you, and God is with you. I want you to know this, though. The enemy wants to bring in doubt, but I have to give you an understanding. Just because you're in a garden doesn't mean there is no weeds. Just because you're in the church doesn't mean there's no devils. Just you got to understand. That's why when Moses went up before God, he said, take your shoes off. This is holy ground. There's nothing wicked that can come close to me. See, so in the scripture, it shows where he was urging them. Paul was urging them to get away from those that would divide you, those that would put a spirit of separation in you. This is the word of God. This is why families are breaking down, because everyone has to get their word in. Everyone has to be right. I need you to know that's not how it works. That's why Jesus said you got to surrender. The word surrender means you got to just come in without your defenses. You got to say, no, I'm coming as I am. I'm not going to hold a gun. I'm not going to hold a sword. I'm not going to have a shield. But yet I'm going to surrender. Because when you surrender, there's something that takes over. That means whatever you're surrendering to takes over. If you surrender to the things of God, not to your attitude or your opinion or your hurt, but instead you surrender to the will of God, don't you know that there's going to be a breakthrough coming your way? And this is why the enemy don't want you to know how to get your praise on. Instead, he wants you to shut your mouth, but yet he gets you talking when doubt comes. You start to look for somebody you can hang and be with to talk about your doubt. Well, I don't think Pastor's doing it good because he's not that bright. He's not the smartest in the world. Oh, you know what? Guess what? You know, I was doing good in my marriage, but they're not that great. So maybe I should see how doubt works. But I want you to know Jesus, he's all right. What do you think about Jesus? He's all right. That's why you need to be able to sing these things, because you have to declare it over your situation. What is your situation? What are you going through right now? At work, you're trying to do a good job and somebody's always plotting against you. This is what happened to the disciples. So let's look at the next verse. First Lady, read Acts 14:5-7. Go ahead.
There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews.
See that? There was a plot. Someone say a plot. What is a plot? Do you know what a plot is? They're planning to set and work against you. You have to understand that the enemy is planning to work against you. You stand on a corner and declare Jesus is Lord. Do you know that the enemy is going to plot against you? You come to the house of God and you different. You don't get all up in these isms and schisms and all that spirit of division. Don't you know people are going to plot against you? Why is it that we're so weak, church? Jesus took the cross because they plotted against him. Even when they were around him were criminals, they didn't want to release Jesus. The church didn't want to release Jesus. You know why the church didn't want to release Jesus? Because the church had its own form of religion. The church had its own politics. The church had its own way of doing things, and Jesus was changing things around. It wasn't the way they were used to. You know how that's how we get. Well, if you're in church, you're supposed to do so many Hail Marys. You got to pray and do so many scriptures. And Jesus said, I come to do the will of my Father. How many of you are here to do the will of God? How many of you, see, when you're doing the will of God, he said, Paul, you're working out your salvation. Carol, you're working out your soul salvation. He doesn't care who you are. He just wants to know who you know. Do you know him? Then you need to say, he's all right. You see, because when you know who he is, you can bank on it. Give God some praise. So they begin to plot against him. Go ahead.
Together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe.
Now you see that where they begin, they planned on mistreating them and stone them. Some people want to mistreat you, and some want to kill you. Some want to kill you spiritually because they just don't like you. Some of us refuse to change and surrender our attitudes and our ways because we don't want to release ourselves over to the true will of God. But I want you to know that that place that you're protecting is not safe. That place that you're protecting in your heart is not safe. It kept you in bondage for a long time. Because instead of you hearing from the man or woman of God, you continue to listen to whispering spirits. But I want to ask you right now, where have that gotten you lately? Now, Paul and Barnabas, they knew the things of God, and they knew how God would do mighty miracles. But in this scripture, it says that they begin to plot against them. But they found out about it and fled. See how God will give you a word and tell you what's going on around you? But I need you to understand, growth comes when you can handle pressure. They didn't just drop their Bibles. They didn't say like this, well, God, you done let me down. I'm done. We're going. These people are just no good. They didn't stop what they were doing, but yet they said, they got word, and they said, I'm going to go where God sent me. I'll leave this town. They don't want me no more. Guess what? I'm good then. But they didn't turn on God. Some of us are turning on God because of our situation and our problems and because of gossip. Well, you can't agree with somebody. I need you to know that's a place called growth. God is trying to grow us up spiritually. Look at our lives sometimes. Look at your life. And you say to yourself, why is it that I get so far and then go back down? Because you allow doubt to minister to your heart. Right when breakthrough is coming. You know, the Bible says, love those that despitefully use you. So like these disciples, they didn't sit there and say, well, I'm going to get all the people I know. We're going to rise up and get our guns. We're going to pray against them. No, he just got his stuff and left. I'm gone. We'll go to the next town. Go ahead and read the rest.
Where they continued to preach the gospel in Lystra and Derbe.
The next scripture, go ahead.
In Lystra, there sat a man who was lame.
Now, I need you to see this, and I'm going here for this reason as we get ready to wrap it up. In Lystra, there was a man lame. See, this is what I'm trying to get y'all to understand. The gospel is about deliverance. Jesus said we must preach the gospel of peace, love, kindness, not hate, not political, not politics. Because guess what? You can't legislate righteousness. Righteousness needs to be in the heart of every man and woman. Righteousness will get you to change your mind when you're ready to abort a child. Righteousness will get you to change your mind when you want to live a certain lifestyle. That's all the lifestyle. But what we have to understand is that God has a purpose for you. And your purpose is to win souls. My purpose is to win souls. So when they left town, guess what? There was a man that was lame, and he had been there for a while, since from birth. Go ahead and read.
And had never walked.
And he never walked. See, I'm trying to bring you to now God's purpose. Say with me, God's purpose. They showed up to the other town. They didn't fight. They didn't get an army. They didn't get all mad. They didn't do all this stuff. But no, they went and allowed God to lead them. And so what happened? There was a man that never walked since birth. And now they're showing up. And guess what? They walked into God's plan. They walked into God's purpose. Go ahead and read it.
He listened to Paul as he was speaking.
So he listened. So turn to someone and say, he listened. Who are you listening to right now? Who are you listening to? Are they your God? Are they your advisor? Are they the ones that can bring you into heaven? That's what God is saying to the body today, to America. This is what God is saying. He's closed the churches. He closed the accounts. He closed, you know, some opportunities because he wants to reset us. And some are going to get it and some aren't. That's why the Bible says broad is a way that leads to destruction, but narrow is a way that leads to life. You better get out of them big crowds and start learning how to get alone with the Lord. Get alone with him and talk to him. Let him minister to your spirit and let him change your heart. Because I want you to learn how to weigh out your heart. Your heart is what is the real deal. Your heart, see, we can fool ourselves and we can fool our friends. But you can't fool God when he looks at your heart. He can see the brokenness. He can see the hurt. He can see the pain. He can see the prejudices. He can see it all. And we refuse to surrender our heart to the Lord. So they begin to go to this town and finish the reading. I'm going to ask you all to get ready to stand.
Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk.
See, right here it said Paul looked directly at him and saw that he had faith to be healed. That means he looked at him and he seen that he was a believer, that he wanted to believe in the word that they just preached. There are miracles coming your way, church. How many believe in miracles? I believe that God can move mountains. They said if you just believe. If you just believe that I see it. I know you got to understand, even when you hurt, guess what? You had to believe in that hurt. You had to trust in that hurt. You had to allow that hurt to minister to you. But what if you got into your prayer closet? What if you went in your room and said, "Lord, I just surrender. I don't want to surrender to this hurt anymore. I don't want to surrender to people's opinion anymore. I don't want to surrender to politics anymore. I want to surrender to your will because I tried all that I could and I couldn't get over." So he looked at this young man and he seen and saw that he had faith to be healed. I'm going to ask you all to stand. He had faith to be healed. And he called out, he says, "Stand up on your feet." And at that, the man jumped. Someone say he jumped. He didn't sit there and say, "I wonder if I'm going to walk." He jumped up. Some of us just got to jump up And say, I'm not going to sit down on what God is doing in my life right now. It hurts. It's painful. But I believe in God's plan, because God's plan is deliverance. God's plan is healing. God's plan is growth. God's plan is maturity. So I want you all to know that if you doubt, you can't make it. Read the next verse and as we wrap it up.
Yet he has not left himself without testimony.
See, he said he has not left himself without testimony. You know who's a testimony? You, 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 you are a testimony. Somebody's watching your life. Somebody's checking how you process negativity. Somebody's checking, your children are checking how you fellowship with God. Go ahead, read.
He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven
giving
and crops
you rain.
In their seasons.
During the crops in their seasons. Go ahead.
He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy.
If your heart is not filled with joy, church, there's a problem. That means you're not speaking to the Lord. That means there's something in your heart that's ministering to you. And it's bringing brokenness. If you turn Mark 11, that's right. It says, go ahead.
Have faith in God, Jesus answered.
He said, have faith. This is Jesus speaking. Have faith in who?
God.
Have faith in who?
God.
Have faith in Mark? No. Have faith in Billy Graham? No. Have faith in God. Go ahead.
Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes.
See, it says, if they do not doubt in their heart, and they believe. I can't believe for you. I can't do it. So when you ask for healing or you ask for prayer, I can do all that I can. But you notice how Paul seen him, and he seen that he was ready to be healed. Some of us are not ready to be healed because we allow doubt and lack of trust in the Lord. Somebody whispered in your ear, even in the congregation, because we don't trust certain people because they're not your friend all the time. I need you to know that's not how life works. You never grow until you disagree. Uh-oh. Ooh, Holy Ghost. I think I'm the only one shouting on this. Ooh. You don't grow. You don't grow. Go ahead and finish.
But believes in what they say, this will happen. It will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours.
Whatever you ask. So it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Say, pray about everything. Pray about what?
Everything.
Pray about what?
Everything.
Uh-oh. So what we stopped doing was praying. We started gossiping. We sit up with our friends and those that believe and trust in our word. And we find somebody to turn their heart too against somebody. So what I'm going to say, so he said, pray about everything and tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. See, that's the scripture. That's the structure. Pray about everything. Tell God about it. And then begin to praise him. How many of you are ready to praise him? Praise him right now. See, so I want you to do this. I want you to do this. Let your faith roar so loud that you can't hear what doubt is saying. Let your faith roar so loud that you can't hear what doubt is saying. Well, I hope you enjoyed the message being stirred. Listen, I know that you've been getting a wonderful word. We want you to come visit us when you're in the area. We're in the Manchester, New Hampshire area. Our service time is at 10 a.m. Sunday morning. Also, if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, please give to houseofpraisenep.org. Click on give, and you can donate to this ministry. Again, I pray and hope that you continue to be blessed. Have a good day.